this lunar month, which began, what was it now, on Friday?
Wednesday.
Or was it Wednesday? Excuse me. Okay, Wednesday. So, we've almost finished a week. Actually, I think it began on Thursday. Yeah, it began on Thursday. The Wednesday was the Purnima. Yes. Anyone got a coin or something? Coins or only notes? Isn't it tight? That's what it's called. You just need to.
Yeah.
It's too big. It's too big, yeah. You need a 1 cent. Just see. Well done. What a competent son-in-law you have. He can do so many things. Yes, so we do have a particular subject matter in mind, because this is the lunar month of Kartik, which is a very special month in the lunar calendar, the Vedic calendar, Vedic tradition. And it is dedicated to Lord Krishna. It's also known as the month of Damodar. Well, it is Kartik, the month of Damodar. And Damodar is a particular form of Lord Krishna. And that particular form of Lord Krishna we see here on our little altar, which has been put together. Right in the center is Mother Yashoda, Krishna's mother, and Krishna. But Krishna has many forms in terms of his many pastimes and activities. So in this particular form or this particular pastime, Leela, Krishna is known as Damodar. Damodar. Dama meaning ropes. Udara meaning the waist or the belly, like that, basically. So Krishna who was tied with ropes around his waist by his mother, Yashoda. So let us say some words about that. But first of all, let us read a verse from the Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam. We will read yesterday morning in Lanesha, we read 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 20. Then we went to Pretoria, and we read the 10th canto, chapter 9, same chapter, but verse 19, which comes immediately before. And now let us read 10th canto, chapter 9, verse 21. So they're all, you know, connected together very closely. First of all, though, just please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yes. So Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 9, verse 21. Nayam sukapo bhagavan dehinam gopika sutta gyaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matam iha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Let us read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yashoda, is very easily available to devotees, but not to tapasvis, yogis, jnanis, and others who have a bodily concept of life. Although they may sometimes be called Shanta Bhaktas, real bhakti begins with Dasya Ras. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 11, Ye tamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamavart manu vartante manusya patha sarvasha. Which means, as living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Everyone is seeking Krishna, for he is the supersoul of all individual souls. Everyone loves his body and wants to protect it, because he is within the body as the soul. And everyone loves the soul because the soul is part and parcel of the supersoul. Therefore, everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving his relationship with the supersoul. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, verse 15, Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, it is I who am to be known. Therefore, the karanis, jnanis, yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of devotees who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach the supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam Parityaja Padamekam Na Gachati. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan even for a moment. The Vrindavan Vasis, Mother Yashoda, Krishna's friends, and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom he dances, have very intimate relationships with Krishna. And if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya Siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna, if those engaged in sadhana siddhi follow in the footsteps of Krishna's Nitya Siddha associates, such sadhana siddhas also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. But there are those who are attached to bodily concepts of life. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, for example, have very prestigious positions, and thus they have the sense of being very exalted Ishvaras. In other words, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are guna avatars and have exalted positions, they have some small sense of being like Krishna. But the pure devotees who who inhabit Vrindavan do not possess any bodily conception. They are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord in sublime affection, prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore recommended. Prema Purmarto Mahan. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love, in relationship with Krishna. And Mother Yashoda appears to be the topmost of devotees who have attained this perfection. Hare Krishna. Let me just read the verse again. Nayam sukapo bhagavan dehinam govikasuta gyaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matamiha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nirvishesha Shunyadi Paschacharya Chaitanya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasali Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you all so much for coming. We really appreciate your association. And thank you particularly to Shivananji and Chandrika for allowing us, inviting us to come to your very nice house and being such nice hosts. So, like we said, this is a very auspicious time of the year. This whole month is very auspicious, and it is focused, as we've already explained a little bit, it's focused on this particular pastime of Lord Krishna with his mother, Yashoda. Of course, God, Krishna being God, God has no mother or father or brother or anyone like that. He is in his own category. He's in his own category. This is mentioned in Shvetashvata Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahu Yo Vididati Kaman, which means there's the singular form and the plural form used. Nityo, singular form, Nityanam, plural form. That there is one eternal living entity, and then there are many eternal living entities. There's one category which has one member, and then there's the other category which has many members, or unlimited members actually. The category which has the one member is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is alone in his own category, in existence. And then there's us, the many. And there's so many of us, not just the humans, but all living entities. And on this planet, obviously, if we include all living entities, how many? How many are there? Who can even hazard a meaningful guess It's just totally incomprehensible to us. And this is just one planet. There are many in the universe. And according to the Vedic literatures, they're all inhabited, no less than this planet. And then there are many universes, which again have many planets, which again are inhabited, and so on. And it's just totally inconceivable by our very limited standards. So, but here we are hearing about Mother Yashoda, this very special devotee. She is one of us. She is one of the many, the very many. But she is a very special one of the very many. In fact, according to the description here, what Prabhupada said right at the end of the purport, if you recall, that she is practically the highest, the most special out of the many, so many, because of her amazing qualities and amazing personal nature. So she's referred to here as the mother of Krishna, who is God, who has no mother. So where does this idea come from? What does it mean that she's the mother of Krishna? It means that she has a particular attraction or attachment for Krishna in a motherly mood. This is coming from her. She has that sort of attitude towards Krishna. She sees him as his son. And Krishna, being very merciful to his devotees, he accepts that. He doesn't just laugh at it. That, what do you think? You think you're my mother? Oh, what a crazy idea. It's sort of a crazy idea, actually. But he doesn't mock her. That how totally stupid you are. He accepts it. He accepts it, and then he manifests himself in such a form as her child and interacts with her as if he is her child. And they both, including him, become deeply, completely absorbed in these moods, the mother and the son. Even though on a certain level, of course, it cannot really be. But it is. It is, because Krishna is accepting and relating. And he's always relating with her like that. Occasionally he shows his nature as the Supreme Lord. He does something unique, extraordinary, superhuman. But otherwise, generally, 90%, 99% of the time, he is presenting himself and relating with her as her son. But of course, when God becomes your son, then he is the best son. You have some brothers, sisters. How many?
Two.
Okay. Anyway, many of you have brothers, and some of you have sons. That's okay. Yes, so, So Krishna is the best son. When you have Krishna as your son, then it's just in a different sort of dimension of relationship. So anyway, that's sort of the foundational basic idea, that here is Mother Yashoda, who is one of us, one of the many. And then there's Krishna, who is in his own category, the one, in his own category. And of course, that verse we referred to from Shvetashvatara Upanishad goes on to say, Eko, the one, Bahunam, to the many, Yo, Vidadhati, Kaman. Vidadhati means he fulfills Kaman, their desires. Since time immemorial, the one has been fulfilling the desires of the many, among other things, but that's one certainly of the things he's been doing. So, yes. So now, this month is very important because the pastime is very important. The pastime is just very important anyway, but in a sense, it's particularly important for us, who are also amongst the many. Unfortunately, in this material world, the many within the material world have become sidetracked from their eternal relationship with the One, who is otherwise looking after them in all respects. We've become sidetracked and just become, you could say, severely disoriented. Sometimes people get in some accident or some sort of disaster, and they may lose consciousness and then come back to consciousness, and they don't know where they are, what happened. It's sort of like that with us. We don't know where we are. How did we get here? What we're doing here? I remember as a child, I think I was maybe 10, something like that, I was hit by a motor car while crossing the road. And I woke up, that was like 8 in the morning on the way to school, 7 in the morning. I woke up 3 hours later, I didn't know where I was, what had happened. Actually, I don't even have any recollection of the car and what happened. There's just 3 hours of my life missing. So, yes, we're in some sort of state of mind like that, severely disoriented, and even to the point of being sort of in a state of amnesia. There was one devotee. Would you believe his name was Devasamuni Das? Seriously. He was Australian, but he was in England for some time. And it's a bit of a long story and a sad story. But there was a big car accident involving devotees. One devotee passed away. The day, it was like, during the day he received initiation, same time as me. And during the night, they're driving back to Scotland. And during the night, car accident, and he died. And this Devasamuni Das, he got amnesia. It was amazing. You know, I'd heard of it before. I thought, it doesn't happen. It's just some sort of story. But he developed amnesia, total amnesia. He didn't remember that he was Devasamuni, didn't remember me. Oh, well. So, yes. So we are in such a state in this world, we've forgotten who we are, what we're meant to be doing, and what we are for. And we're just caught up in material life. So, now this pastime is very important because the essence of the pastime, the principle being displayed in the pastime is just the most foundational principle when it comes to correcting ourselves and becoming properly situated again as devotees of the Lord, and again reawakening and eventually entering directly into our eternal relationship with the Lord, which exists. And it's there within us. But at this point, because of our state of amnesia, so to speak. We're just not aware. It's submerged, it's hidden, lost for the time again, for the time being. Right, so the pastime. Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, as the very devoted mother, dedicated to the family, to a husband, dedicated to her children or child, Krishna, felt the need. You know, we've gone elaborately through the pastime the last day or two, so I won't go through all the details of why she wanted to discipline Krishna. But basically, Krishna was naughty, as children sometimes are, particularly, I believe, sons. Those of you who are mothers, can you... mothers of sons and daughters, because you'd have to see both. Is it true, is the rumor true, that sons are more difficult and daughters are more gentle and sort of, you know, cultured? Is it true?
Yes.
Or do daughters do naughty things too? We could explore that theme, but let's just leave it. So Krishna was naughty. Krishna was naughty. And Mother Yashoda felt the need to discipline him. So she tied him. Dhamma Udara. She tied him. And it was not easy to tie him. First of all, she had to catch him. That was not easy. But then her motherly concern just became so overwhelming and so overpowering that Krishna had to submit. He couldn't stop himself from being caught by her. Then she had to tie him. And she got some piece of rope which was so long, and he's just three. He had just turned three. That means, you know what three means, just a little child. But this rope, which was a couple of meters long, was too short by two fingers. So she kept adding more rope, and then more rope. You know, to first of all, say what? 1.5, 2 meters, then five. As we say, sometimes, if 5 meters of rope will not get around your stomach, you have been eating too much prasada. And you have become what they call gravitationally challenged. Right, so anyway. And then more rope and more rope. But it's always two fingers too short. And her mood of motherly love and concern, anxiety, that she has to train her child properly, again, it's increasing and increasing until it just overflowed, and again it overpowered Krishna. And then she was able to tie him. Even with just a little bit of rope, she could have tied him. So... one thing we haven't mentioned over the last couple of days is about the two fingers. The rope was two fingers too short. Every time, no matter how many meters and even hundreds of meters of rope were there, it was always two fingers too short. Our great Acharya, one of our great spiritual masters from long ago, several hundred years ago, 800 perhaps, he says that the two fingers represent two very specific and essential elements in the picture of this whole pastime. One, the first one, represents the effort of the devotee. And the second represents the mercy of the Lord. Both have to be there. It's not just that we just make an effort and it's just we do it ourselves, a do-it-yourself type of success. And it's not simply that the Lord does it and we don't do anything. Like Arjuna was suggesting in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, as you all know, he didn't want to fight initially, even though Krishna was urging him to, but he was basically refusing. But Krishna was insisting. And eventually Arjuna sat down and said, all right, you want this battle fought, you fight it. And I will take rest here in the back of my chariot, and you wake me up when it's finished. In other words, it's all the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes, amongst Hindu people, actually, let me tell you an interesting little experience I've had with numerous Hindu people, is that we visit them in their homes and, you know, in the vast majority of cases, they receive us very nicely. And it's all very nice. And then at the end, we invite them, encourage them, please come and visit the temple. Because some of them don't. So we encourage them a little strongly. Come on, you must come and visit the temple. And some of them answer to that, if Krishna wants, I will go. If Krishna wants. Seriously, I've heard that response many times. In other words, I'm just going to sit here until Krishna picks me up and just magically transports me there. So then, you know, after that had happened a few times, I was thinking how to respond. So one response that I came up with was that, well, what if you need something from the shop? Will you just wait until Krishna just, you know, takes you there? Just, yeah, until Krishna, when Krishna wants. No, you go to the shop. Yes. Work. You know, do you work? Yes. Well, what about going to work on Monday? If Krishna wants. Yes. So, Mother Yashoda then, really anxious about Krishna and the rope, the two fingers. The effort has to be there, but the mercy of the Lord has to be there also. Not just one or the other, but both simultaneously. However, we make the point that here, you see my two fingers, there they are. These are the two fingers. The rope was too short. This one, that one is the personal effort one, okay? This one is the Lord's mercy one, you see? Okay, you got it. You notice one is bigger and one is smaller. Did you see that? Is it the same with you? Mine, it's kind of a little pronounced. I don't know. Show me yours. Not bad. A little more effort. Yes, so that's a nice way to see it. It's a very nice way to see it. Then there's another element, not element, but there's another phase, another stage in the whole story, actually, which is also very much part of this whole idea and it's also very important, is that so now Krishna's tied up, overpowered by the love of Mother Yashoda. He surrendered to her, and she tied him. And she tied him to a big grinding mortar. Not one of these little ones, you know, you just sort of handheld, but big, like a meter high or something like that, and big, solid, wooden, grinding mortar. So she tied him to that, and it's a big, heavy thing. And he's a three-year-old child. He just turned three, maybe 6 weeks before or 2 months before, something like that. So he's a little boy. But then Krishna, even though he's a little boy, don't underestimate Krishna. Krishna started crawling away, pulling the grinding mortar behind him, even though it's heavy. And normally a three-year-old child couldn't do something like that at all, but Krishna did. And the grinding mortar, he's dragging it along, he crawled right in between two trees which were very close to each other, like this sort of 1 foot, or I don't think any more than 2 feet apart. And the grinding mortar became caught between the two trees. But Krishna continued crawling, our three-year-old Krishna. And he kept crawling, and these trees, they came crashing over. Krishna is so powerful. They were trees of the variety in India, and you still get them in India. They're called Arjuna trees. Now, it may be, even if you're brought up in India, you may not be familiar with that tree, but you do see them around in Vrindavan here and there. You get Arjuna trees. And, you know, an interesting thing about Arjuna trees is they have very complex root systems. The roots go out and down, but out. And yeah, the root system becomes a real tangle. And because they go out, they brace the tree. And because they go down, they hold the tree. And because of this, when Mauritius was being colonized or developed or whatever, back whenever that was, by the British, and they were bringing over, you know, as they did here, bringing over many people from India to work on whatever, I guess the sugar cane, something like that. So they brought Arjuna trees with them. And therefore, if you go to Mauritius, in some places, like there's the Black River, so not canyon, but gorge or something, if you know Mauritius. You know Mauritius? It's just past Tamarin on the west coast. Anyway, it's there, Black River, something, something. And you go up, if you walk up following this river, it's a very beautiful nature reserve, and you see all these Arjuna trees with these wide root systems, but they also go down. They brought them over from India because, as they found out, in Mauritius they have cyclones every year, often every year. And whatever is standing, when there's a cyclone, by the end of the cyclone, it's on the ground. Everything gets devastated by the cyclones. So they brought the Arjuna trees to act as windbreaks. because even when there's a cyclone, they don't get blown down. These are the types of trees that those trees were. The two Arjuna trees. And just see, consider this, devotees and friends. A cyclone. You know, if you go outside in a cyclone, you've got to watch out because you can get blown over. Even if you're a strong young person, you can just get blown over. So, a cyclone means a hurricane, actually. They're synonyms in this context. A hurricane cannot blow over an Arjuna tree, but our Krishna, he knocked over two. Just see, our Krishna, our hero, he's a tough guy. And he was only 3 years old. Sure, amazing. And out came these two demigods, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, who were the two sons of Kuvera, who Prabhupada described as being the treasurer of the demigods. Yeah. He sort of runs the bank in the heavenly planets. Yeah, he's the banker. So they, you know, without going into great lengths about it, but it's a very interesting story. They, even though they're young demigods, their father is very highly placed demigod, one of the very close associates of Lord Indra, who is the king of the demigods, personal assistant to Indra. It means very pious, cultured family. But they became degraded somehow. We don't really know exactly how it happened, but it happened. So one time, as the Bhagavatam describes, Narada Muni visited. Those two were playing around naked in a lake with some young women who were also naked and drinking liquor and sort of yelling and screaming, and just, it was just a rather bizarre scene. And Narada Muni walked past and saw, and the young ladies covered themselves, understanding this is Narada Muni, this is very great saintly person. We cannot appear in front of such a person like this. But the two, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, the two sons, they didn't stop. They just carried on, just without any respect. Extremely low class. So seeing this, Narada Muni, to help them, he cursed them. What do you think? A beneficial curse. Yes, he cursed them. You become trees. You want to be naked just in front of anyone and everyone, no matter how sort of elevated or significant, important they are, then you become trees. You can just be naked all the time and just be there outside all the time. And if it rains, you just stand there. If it's windy, you just stand there. And if it's hot, you just stand there and just be trees. And the logic was that by doing this, they would become cured. They would realize how foolish they had been. And the propensity to do that sort of thing, they would just reject that completely. And then at the end, he said, you'll be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada makes some interesting points about this. Well, actually, Narada Muni makes some interesting points. Listen to this. I find this very interesting. Narada Muni says to them, or maybe he just thinks to himself, I think. He thinks to himself that these young men, they think that these are our bodies, we can do with them as we like, and that's just our business. But, Narada Muni thinks, actually, it is quite obvious that these bodies are not simply ours in the following senses. Not just that they belong to Krishna, which of course is also true, but in other more sort of, you know, easily understandable senses too. When the person is a child, small child, the body is the property of the parents. And therefore the parents feed the child as they like to feed the child. They clothe the child as they like to clothe the child. They take the child where they want to take the child. They treat the child as they want to. They train the child. They have the child educated as they want it done. And the child is just helpless. Just helpless in the middle of it all. Just going in whatever direction they're being taken by the parents. So then that goes on through the childhood and through the youth. And then the child learns some occupation, and then works, and then the body, it becomes the property of the boss, the employer. And the employer says, now you do this and you don't do that and you come at this time and etc., etc. Plus, generally people become married and then they do what the family members say. Yes, so to think, this is my body, I will do with it as I like. It's a very illusory idea. And then finally you become old. Finally become old. And then the body dies. And then it's burnt or buried or whatever, something like that. And it becomes the property of the fire or the property of little creatures. If the body's buried, the body becomes consumed. So whose property is this body? And Narada Muni makes the point, as he's thinking like this, that it's so obvious that our bodies are not simply our property to do with as we like. It's so obvious, he says, that anyone who thinks that these bodies are ours to do with as they like.
There are some
pics.
Incredibles too.
That's incredible. Well, that's right. It's incredible. And anyone, you know, it's so obvious it's not like that, that anyone who thinks it is like that, it's incredible. But anyone who thinks it is like that, he says, is a rascal. And what he means there by saying rascal is, Prabhupada gives an example of rascal, means something so obvious, but the person refuses to accept it. Prabhupada tells the story of the man who's sitting on the branch of the tree, sawing through the branch, but he's sawing through the branch in between himself and the trunk. And someone goes walking by and says, don't do that. you're going to fall. And the fellow who's sawing on the branch, he says, ah, get out of here, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing, don't try to tell me what to do. And he keeps sawing, and then suddenly, crash, he falls to the ground. And he asks the other person who had advised him before, he asks him, how did you know that was going to happen? And Prabhupada says, this means rascal. Because it's so obvious that if you don't get it, it's not just that you're stupid, although you are stupid, but it's not simply a matter of being stupid. It means there's like a deviant mentality, a twisted mentality. It's not just a lack of intelligence. It means there's some, you know, the intelligence has become mixed up. Yes, so therefore he felt that it would help them to have to tolerate this. And in the end, when the Lord delivered them, they would be cured. And it happened. It happened. After some time, the Lord came, as we mentioned, and knocked down the trees. And they came out, and they were in a proper consciousness. So this is another part of the whole Damodar Leela. Although, you know, anyway, it's another part. It's another part. And the point there is that if you don't watch out, if you don't watch out, you may get corrected in a very dramatic way, which is going to like sort of shoo, really just take your breath away. Yeah, something which will shake you up in a very big way. Just like one man, a father of a devotee in Bombay, many years ago in '70s, when with Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was preaching there, father of a devotee, the father had a smoking habit. And he came and said to Prabhupada, can you bless me to get free of the smoking habit? You know, just sort of like some instant cure. Yeah. Can you bless me? And Prabhupada said, well, you can try and give it up. Otherwise, the blessing will come from Yamaraj. Which one do you want? And the man said, I'll try to give it up. So we may have our own little sort of twists and turns in our minds. It's not unusual. In fact, it's almost universal, if not actually universal. And we have to try to straighten ourselves up voluntarily. Otherwise, if we don't, the Lord, it'll be his mercy, but it'll hurt. It'll hurt. He will straighten us out. What they call, at least in American modern slang, tough love. Tough love. Means you're actually helping a person, but in a way which, you know, according to their perspective, you know, it hurts and it's not nice, but actually it's for their benefit. So it's another part of the whole picture of the Damodar Leela. Although the main part is, of course, the pastime with Lord Krishna being tied by Mother Yashoda, which illustrates the principle that, well, we read in the purport. We read that you get all these people, different types of yogis. You know, we're all, of course, familiar with this term, yogi. Jnanis, some of us may not be so familiar with the term jnani, tapasvi, we may not be so familiar with. Tapasvi means someone who, for their spiritual development, they voluntarily accept austerity. Voluntarily accept some, well, you know, a couple of the classic austerities are, in winter, one immerses oneself in the cold water of a river for the whole day. For the whole day. That's an austerity. Any volunteers? Like to do it and report back? Give us a report. That's extreme. That's really extreme. Cold water in winter, all day, voluntarily. And you don't come out to go to the Pick and Pay to buy some potato chips or something. And then in summer means, you know, not like now. Now, meaning during the days, today, yesterday, it was sort of 30 degrees or thereabouts. It's by our standards, it's quite warm, I'd say. But now we're talking about real summer. Real summer, like in parts, many parts of India. 40 degrees, 45 degrees, sometimes 50 degrees. It really is considerably hotter than what we ever experience in this country. But then the whole day you sit outside in the sun, but surrounded by fires. Surrounded by fire. I've seen people doing it. Yeah. Voluntarily. And the idea is to, I mean, theoretically at least, break the enjoying spirit. Help us to realize this world is not nice. That sort of idea. That's a tapasvi. Or a jnani means a mental speculator, somebody who speculates about spiritual philosophy, spiritual ideas, and so on. So the verse and the purport were saying that such people and the yogis who do physical exercises, etc., such people, they cannot approach Krishna at all like Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda approached Krishna out of spontaneous love. And because of her spontaneous love, Krishna did what she wanted. And first of all, he became caught by her, then he became tied up. Yes. So that sort of being able to influence God in terms of what we want, it can't be done by these other means, but it can only be done out of love, real love, not just some conditional love, like I will chant Hare Krishna for 1 month, and then I want Krishna to give me something. I met one man in our temple, Radharadhanath in Durban. He was coming in to the altar with a paper plate with one burfi, ek kela, ek dut, doso pachas milliliter. or ek agabati, which which was stuck in the Kaila. So somehow we got talking, and he told me, yeah, I've taken a vow for this whole month. I am going to offer Krishna these things. Ek Bhavi, Ek Kaila, Ek Dosa Pachas Dut, Milanita, or Ek Agabati. And at the end of the month, he told me, I want a new car. This is very conditional. But not conditional. Just, you know, this is for Krishna. And how he wants to reciprocate, or even if he wants to, I leave it up to him. As Lord Chaitanya says, whether you make me brokenhearted by not coming before me, or whether you come, you know, so intimately to me that you crush me with your embrace, doesn't matter. You're always my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. So that was the mood of Mother Yashoda. Just the sincere and exclusive desire to help her little boy, Krishna, her naughty little boy, to try and cure him of his stealing problem and his sort of antisocial tendencies. Yes. And this month means every day we're being reminded, because every day, and I see we're going to do it now, every day we're offering the lamps to Krishna and to Damodar and Yashoda, and we're every day we're seeing it and being reminded. So let's try to follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. Of course, she's very great, even though she is one of us. But as Prabhupada said, she is a very special one of us. And we are sort of insignificant members of the many. But at least in our humble little ways, let's try and follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Go Premanande.
So, Hare Krishna, dear devotees, we'd like to thank you on behalf of my in-laws and Jai Radhisham. We'd like to thank Maharaj for making time in his busy schedule for actually coming and sharing these pastimes with us. So thank you so much, Maharaj. So the next part of the program is going to be offering of lamps. So we're going to set up here in front. So if everybody could come and, you know, just offer your lamp, and then we'll have a tray on the side where you can put your lamp back down. Please don't put it on the top here. We don't want to start a fire. So yeah, that will be the program. And then once the Damodar Astikam is done, we'll have some prasad that will be served also. So, Yavit Prabhu, please.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyone got questions?
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Prashna. Ek Prashna. When I just came from Dubai, I had to speak in Hindi. They can marry Hindi Bob Kharab, hey? Gujarati is more difficult. Prashna, aha!
Would you like to sing?
Well, that's a question, I guess. I could try. I could. Yeah. Any other question? I think they all understood very clearly. I think they all got the message. And I think they're all going to do it. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.